Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning, and those who are online, thank you for tuning in. Amen. So we have a powerful message today, and for those who have been following, we know Pastor Joe has been speaking to us about being rattled. And how many of you have been enjoying the messages? Amen. I know I've been enjoying, and I know he's away this week, and he has left you in my care. So I know that, thank you, amen. Thank you for that. We're going to have a great time today. Today we want to talk about hope and the fact that God wants to be our hope resurrector. And as we shared just a few minutes ago, just about Pastor Joe and rattling, and last week's message was amazing because he talked about being in a valley of dry bones. And if you remember, he talked about God breathing again inside of the hearts of the people of Israel and breathing inside of us again because we've gone through this dry state, this place where there is lifelessness, there's no hope, and it just seems dark, it just seems despair. It gets better, guys, it gets better. I'm not trying to preach any doom or gloom, but just wanted to encourage you that we understand what's going on in our society, that people are hurting, people are searching for answers. And I know one of the great holidays is coming around Thanksgiving, and when you're at Thanksgiving, what's one of the things that you expect to have? A turkey. On Christmas, when you look under the tree, you expect to see presents or gifts, right? And there are times in our lives where we expect to have something and it's not there. There are times where you're going through things and you're saying, God, I think this is going to work out this way, and it's, oh man, a letdown. I wanted to encourage you today that God is our hope resurrector, that he wants to resurrect that hope, that belief, that expectation that we have, but he wants it to be in him. Not in ourselves, not in our strength, not in our abilities, but in a hope resurrector. And today we're continuing with the story of Ezekiel, and God is encouraging Ezekiel not to lose hope, and he wants him to prophesy. And I want to prophesy today to those who are online. We want to prophesy in your life to say there is hope, there is peace, there is joy in the midst of all that we're going through. And we know that there's nothing greater or nowhere where we can find hopelessness than in a grave. And that's where Ezekiel is, and he's having these visions of the dry bones and in a valley, and speaking of death. And for those who watch The Lion King, you know the elephant graveyard. You know what we're talking about, being at the graveyard. Nobody likes to be there. Nobody wants to experience a graveyard. We do everything in our power. We work out. We eat vitamins. We do all this stuff to try to run away from that place. But when we're faced with that, what do you do? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? And Ezekiel faced that situation in Ezekiel 37:11. He said to him, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. And they say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off." And the children of Israel were in a place of despair, a place where they had no answer. They're looking, they're searching, and there's no answer because they have been moved away from the promise. Their homeland, they've been removed because of disobedience, because of sin, whatever it was. God removed them. And it wasn't the end, but God was showing them that, hey, the things that you've been putting your trust in, the things that you've relied on won't keep you. The things that you thought that will sustain you, the things that you've held up next to God, that you thought was like God or could replace God, there's going to be a shaking. And this shaking is not to discourage you or to cause you to say, I don't want to serve God, or to crumble up and to say, that's it. It's for you to say, God, I put my hope in Jesus, my anchor to the ground. That no matter what comes, what storm may come my way, I can have a hope that will never disappoint me. You see, relationships will come, relationships will go. Money will come, money will go. Government officials' promises will come and it will go. But the word of the Lord, the prophecy of God, will remain the same. And this is what God is saying to Ezekiel. He's saying, do not give up. He said, these dry bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Do you feel like you're cut off? You know, it doesn't take long for us to turn to the news and see that people feel cut off. People are rioting in the street. People are angry. People are in despair. People have said, enough's enough. There's a dryness and people are retaliating and fighting and doing all they can to try to bring back something that only God can offer. Only hope is in Jesus. So I'm not knocking protesting. I'm not knocking peaceful protesting. I'm not knocking standing up for our human rights. I'm not knocking any of those things. I'm just saying at the end of the day, our hope is in Jesus. Our anchor to the ground. And whatever we try to put up above God or next to God will be rattled. Will be shaken, and it will crumble because only Jesus can withstand any test, any problems that we're going through today. The grave represents the place of no hope because you don't come back from the grave. It represents an eternal despair, but God is using this rattling in our society. I didn't say that he caused it, but he's using it for us to place our hope in God. And in Ezekiel 37, verse 12, he says, therefore prophesy, therefore speak the word. To prophesy means to speak the word, to proclaim the word over your problems. To say, in spite of what I'm going through, I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to change my future by declaring the word of the Lord. Doesn't matter what my financial situation may look like today. Doesn't matter what my health may look like. I speak life. Speak life over your situation. God encourages Ezekiel to speak, to prophesy to the dry bones. And we live in a world today that says, hey, I need to see it to believe it. Why would you speak over something that's already dead? But God is the one who gives life. He's the hope resurrected today. And he's telling us to speak hope over our situations that seem dead, that seem gloomy, that seem like, you know what? There's no hope of return. So in verse 12, Ezekiel 37, he says, therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The sovereign one is the one who controls everything. I want to encourage you today that God is not nervous, neither is he afraid of what's going on. The pandemic, the social injustices, all of these things have not taken God by surprise. The Bible tells us that in last days, there will be evil days, that men will turn away. There will be a falling away, but God is calling us to remain faithful and hope in him and trust in him. The sovereign Lord says, not any government official, not your bank statement, but the sovereign Lord. Whose report will we believe today? He says, my people, I'm going to open your graves. Come on. Now, if you're in a grave, you know it's over. How many of you have been to a funeral? I know. I hate those things. With a passion, I hate them. I don't even go see the body because I just say no. But once you've been in a grave, we know that it's a hopeless situation. It's a place of despair. But God is saying, speak. I will open your graves. The nail is not in the coffin. And if there's a nail, God says, I'm going to move it. Because I am the hope resurrector. He says, bring you, and I will bring you from them. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel, the land of promise. So from the problem to the promise, God will bring us back. He will resurrect something that's more important than a 401k. I know. Because we live in a world today that we're looking for this thing called false security, false hope. And we can put all of our hope in a 401k or a retirement plan. And we can put our hope in the government. We can put our hope in so many things. But how many of you have been rattled? How many of you have been disappointed financially? How many of you have been let down by the promises of your boss or your coworkers or somebody in your employment? And they said, you know, you will always have this job. You thought that 30 years on the job, I'm set. And only to be notified that you will not be working here anymore. That is a place of hopelessness. I want to let you know at TC, Pastor Joe, Pastor Ruth, myself, and Pastor Adiwi, we're praying for you guys. There's a prayer team praying for you. There's people who love you. There's people who are standing in the gap right now who are saying, you know what, we love you guys, and we're going to keep praying and to see God's promises fulfilled in your life. That this is not going to be the end of us. This won't destroy us, but it will make us better. It can seem like there is no hope in your current situation, but I want to encourage you that God wants to resurrect your hope in Jesus. Maybe today your hope has died. You're going through. You say, you know what? I don't have any expectations. I just wake up in the morning, make sure my kids are clothed, make sure I brush my teeth. You better do that. Right? And I just go to work, and I just come home, and I turn on the TV for a couple of hours until it's time to go to bed. There's no hope. There's no expectations. I know I've been there, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not asking you to say amen. You keep that because that's between you and God. But I want to let you know that God wants to resurrect your hope today. God is saying to you, I prophesy over your life. I speak the word. And we see this story in John 11, the story of Lazarus. And we, for those who don't know this story, Lazarus was sick. And his sisters, Martha and Mary, send word to Jesus and say, please come. Please come to the one you love and heal him because he's sick. And this looks like some trouble. And if you don't come, I don't know, this may be the end of him. And you would think that Jesus, just being a few miles away, that he would immediately get up, pack his bags and have his disciples, and they'll just get a coach express and just get to Lazarus. But you know what Jesus does? Jesus waits a few more days. Jesus doesn't come when you want him, but he's on time. Amen? I've learned that. I've learned that. You know what? He may not come when I want him, but he's always on time. I want to let you know I'm going through a situation. It is not as serious as some of you, what you're going through, but I'm going through a situation that sometimes it feels hopeless. Sometimes I just want to throw in a towel. But I say, you know what, God? You're in control. I say, Lord, you've brought me this far, and I know you will not leave me. You will not forsake me, even though I walk through the valley. No, that's not in my notes, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. God is telling us today, do not be afraid. God is telling us, those who are online, do not be afraid, but put your hope in Jesus. That the things that have been shaking you, the sickness, the problems, the marital issues, whatever it is today, those things that have been shaking you, is not to discourage you, but it's so that you would put your faith or your hope in the right place. And Mary and Martha had nowhere else to go but to the hope resurrector. They had no other place. And, you know, that's how it is in life. God just has an amazing thing about him where he wants us to have total faith and trust in him. And if he has to wait 2 days, he'll wait for you. If he has to wait 40 years, as he had to wait for the children of Israel, he'll wait for us because trust is so important to him. Hoping in him is more important than anything else in this world. And what Jesus was doing was, he was saying, I'm not going to allow anybody to steal the miracle that is going to take place in this man's life. Nobody will be able to take credit. You know, when we get past this pandemic, when we get past this government and social issues, nobody will be able to take credit. It will be all glory to God. God is setting up the scene, the situation, so that when all is said and done, we can say, no, that was God. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but in my life, there's been times where I said, only God. That had to be God. And people will look at me and say, man, you, God must love you. And I say, he sure does. He sure does love me because there's no way I could have gotten out of this situation without his hand. I don't have that great ability. I'm not that smart. I don't have it all together like some of us in here. Right? I don't have everything together. I don't have all my ducks in a row, but I have a God who does. I have a God who watches over me. I have a God who cares for me. My very hair is numbered. My daughter would remind me, Dad, it's not much. But, I know, yeah, she's going to say, Dad, why'd you say that? But that's all right. He still knows and he loves me. And Jesus waits, and then he finally goes. He finally arrives. And make a long story short, when he arrives, his disciples and everybody's there, and he see the weeping and carrying on, and Martha and Mary, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have never died." And I love this story because Jesus says, "No, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe?" And she says, "No, Lord, I know by and by. No, no, I am the hope resurrected. I want to do something now. Will you believe?" And I know for some of us in this room, we're believing, oh, when we get to heaven. But Jesus says, "No, I want to resurrect things right now in your life. What are those things that are dying? What are those things that are dead? What are those things that you have put away? You said, you know what, God, that's it. I give up. I throw my hands up." That's usually when God starts to work, when we throw our hands up and say, "Enough's enough. I'm tired." But Jesus had to set the scene. Jesus set the scene of hopelessness by just removing himself and waiting a few days. He set up a hopeless situation. And not to play tricks. God doesn't play tricks. God doesn't play games. God is not fooling around. But God wants to receive all glory and all praise and all honor. Amen? And it says, even his disciples thought Nazareth was only sleeping, so why not just leave him in his current state? I want to let you know, God loves you too much to leave you in your current state. Oh, just leave me. I'll come to church on Sunday, but I don't have a belief in God anymore. That strong faith that I once had is gone. You know, I'm sleeping. I'm resting. God, no, God wants to resurrect this morning. He says this in John 11:15. Jesus tells his disciples, "And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe." It's about belief. It's about trusting the Lord. I'm not sitting here saying that we won't go through disappointments. I'm not preaching Jesus genie, that we rub the lamp and all of a sudden we never go through any problems and we have bank accounts that are full and we have health. No, I'm saying that even though we go through disappointments, there is a hope resurrector. Even though we go through setbacks, there's a God who will set us straight and set us forward into the future. And though the tides may blow, and though everything is just going crazy, it seems like the world is just going wild, God is saying, "I am in the midst. I am resting. And I want to see who will believe. Who will put their confidence in me in the midst of all that's going wrong in our society? Who will say, 'Lord, my faith is in you. I don't care or concern myself what goes on. My faith will remain in you.'" That even though you're rattling the hope of the world, the false hopes and dreams of the world, you remain faithful. And what God is doing is he's showing us that those things that we've put on the tree or we've put in our hearts next to God, those things that are shaking off completely, saying, "Where are those things?" You know, there was a time where I thought if I had enough money, I'll be okay. But this pandemic has shown me, no, it's not about having enough money. It's about having enough faith. There was a time where I thought that if I had enough health, oh my goodness, I'll be okay. And this pandemic has shown me that if I have the healer Jesus, I'm okay. He'll be with me. There are things that God allows to unfold before our eyes so that we would believe. And he says this, "But let us go to him." And they went. And Jesus wants our hearts to be rattled away from false hope and turned towards him. Today, God wants to rattle our hope. He wants to rattle it. He wants to shake it. He wants to allow the shaking of this world, the earthquakes and everything that's going on. He wants to rattle us and say, "Hey, put your hope in me." As we continue in this story, Jesus arrives at the gravesite. We said that already, but it's worth noting that Martha, everybody's crying, "If you had been here, Lord." And Jesus does something that's crazy. He tells them, "Open the tomb." I know we don't get buried in tombs now, but in Jesus' day, there were tombs. Can you imagine going? Jesus comes to your house and says, "Okay, let's go to the gravesite." And now let's dig up the body. Everybody in this room would think Jesus is crazy. I would. And Martha whispers to Jesus, she says, Jesus, by now he stinks. It's too late. His body's decayed. It's 4 days. And some of us may be wondering, well, why 4 days? You know, they believe that the spirit and the person who was dead could come back to life. But it would take, you know, they have 3 days. The spirit was hovering around. The fourth day, listen, he's gone. There's no coming back. Point of no return, a place of hopelessness. Have you ever been there? Have you been in that place where it's so hopeless? Those who are online, maybe you've been in that place. Say, I've been there. Say amen in the chat. Where you've been hopeless and you said, no, there's no coming back from this. By now, it stinks. And there could be some stinky situations going on right now that nobody else knows about or few people know, and we won't let anybody know because it's too stink. I thank God for Celebrate Recovery because there's nothing too stink. When you go to CR, there's nothing too stink when you come to TC. There's nothing too stink because God wants to do something. God wants to call those who are far from God to be fully followers of Jesus Christ. There's nothing too stink for God. And he says, open the tomb. Let me in. And Martha was saying, Verse 41 says this. So they moved the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You know that you always hear me. I know you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. And in verse 41, it reminds us, it lets us know that we have a part to play in the miracles of God for our lives. That if we want to see the miracles of God unfold for our lives, guess what? We're going to have to remove that stony heart. That stony place where prevents you from seeing a miracle of God. You've closed the tomb of your heart. You said, God, I will not open this part up to you. God is saying it's time to open up. Open up that place of unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart today. Believe again. Some just say, you know what? I just come to hear the word and go home. God is encouraging you today. Open your heart. God is saying, let's go to the place where that thing was buried and let's dig it up because it's still causing a rot in your heart. And God doesn't want decay there. He doesn't want you to rot away in decay and unbelief and fear and doubt. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said that, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Jesus is speaking to your situation right now. But will you remove that stone of unbelief? I've been there. Know what it's like to have that hard place. And then God asking me to remove it. And I'm saying, God, no, it hurts too much. The bitterness, the pain owed us too much. I can't get past that. I feel it. What I mean, I feel a hurt that you're going through right now. I know it's not easy, but God said, move that stone. But God, if I move that stone, everybody will smell. They will smell it. And then I don't want them to smell that. You want to be healed or you want to stay stinky? Which one? You can't have both. But God wants to get to the dry bones today. God wants you to open up the tomb of your heart, that place where you've allowed faith to die, hope to die. And God says, I want to prophesy over your situation. You see, Lazarus went into that tomb and everybody writ him off. And maybe some people have written you off and said, you know, that's it. But God says, no, I haven't written you off. I don't care about your past. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how stink your past may be. Open the tomb. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out of your place of hopelessness. I'm calling you out of your place of despair. I want to do a new thing. But will you open your heart? This whole story in John 11, if you go home and read it, it's just about people believing. And notice how God goes out of his way, Jesus goes out of his way to prove himself to his people because he loves us. Jesus commands Lazarus, come out. Come out. And God is commanding us today, come out of that place. Come out of that hurt. Come out of that bitterness. Ezekiel 37, verse 12, I will call you out of the tombs or the graveyards. What are those dead things in your life right now? God is saying, come out. If you're online today, say, come out. If you're here today, say, come out. God is calling you out because he's the hope resurrector. God put Martha and Mary and that whole town in a situation, but he did that so that they might believe. And whatever situation we're going through today, whether it be financial, whether it be trust, whether it be things of our past, God is calling us out. He says, come out of that tomb and come into the land of promise. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your account. Doesn't matter your political party. There's a promise that God has for your life. God doesn't see red or blue. God sees hope. God sees that he wants to do something new in our nation. God sees that he wants to do something through us. But will you open that heart? Jesus offers us hope, a new expectation, a hope that will never disappoint. This is not like Christmas or Thanksgiving where you're hoping to have a great time with your family. You're hoping to have that great gift. You hope that somebody remembered you. No, no. God never disappoints. And it doesn't mean that we don't go through disappointments. It's just that in the midst of that disappointment, he's still giving us hope. He's still our peace. He's still our hope. Amen. Amen. And this hope goes beyond living safe. Jesus desires to dwell in our hearts to grant us the peace. Oh, thank you, Lord, that passes all understanding. So you may be wondering, well, what gift are you going to offer me today? I know some people have the imagination or the thought, I'm no charlatan. I'm not trying to bribe you. I'm not trying to trick you. But I want to let you know something, that God offers us a peace that passes all understanding. Any drug that you can imagine today, Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than any person. And Jesus says, will you allow me in?